B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour of Felger and Mazka, and Mike's out today. Jim Murray alongside Adam Jones here to give us headlines. Chime in on NBA trading deadline day. We'll jump back to your calls here in 1 minute, but I know that Jim Murray had a question he wanted to ask Jones right he went to headlines. So go ahead, Murray, fire away.
All right, Jones. So you lusted for James Harden on your show, The Night Show, here
yes.
at 98.5 The Sports Hub. You battled back all the idiots who said you were stupid for wanting him on the Celtics, of which I was
Correct.
Also one, admittedly.
Correct.
But you've been proven right. Hashtag Jones was right. And now he and the Nets look like the best team in the conference. He's in shape. He's engaged. He's the assist leader in the NBA and so on. Like, they look like a buzzsaw. So now that Victor Oladipo gets traded today for basically nothing, goes from Houston to Miami, for people that haven't been paying attention or haven't seen this on Twitter yet, this is ultimately what the Rockets received for James Harden. Avery Bradley.
Yep.
Kelly Olynyk.
Pretty good.
Dante Exum.
Sure.
Road Onions, whatever the hell that guy's name, Road Onions Kurix?
Yep.
Four first-round picks, four pick swaps. That's
four first-rounders?
Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, Dante Exum, the Road Onions guy, four first-rounders, four pick swaps for James Harden. So, Jones, the question is, are you more mad than ever that Ainge didn't try to get him?
I mean, the picks are a lot, but yes, I mean, that's a bunch of crap for James Harden. If you just gave up the picks... You don't even need to include Jaylen Brown or anything,
the
right?
The comp would be Smart, Williams, bench trash, and like four first-round picks.
Right. Maybe somehow you could talk him into taking back Kemba. They took John Wall's deal, so maybe they'd take another crappy deal. Maybe Wall and Kemba wouldn't fit together. Maybe that's a bad example. But like, yeah, they didn't even give up. They didn't have to give up Jaylen Brown to do that deal for James Harden.
Right.
So now could you add him to those two? Oh, James Harden won't defer. He won't stop shooting. He wouldn't give up the basketball. Oh, except he's done that.
He's the assist leader in the NBA.
Leads the NBA in assists. And I think he's shooting like 16 shots a game, which I'd guess is somewhere around Kemba. You know, like he's shooting like as much as Kemba shoots on this team.
He's the MVP of the league.
Yeah, he might be. I don't know if he definitively is or not, but he might be. And... Yeah, that's nothing for a superstar in the league, a guy who's all NBA almost every year. I think he's a 3-time scoring champ off the top of my head. Like that's nothing. A pile of crap and a bunch of picks, that's nothing.
And I think that ultimately the first round picks are overvalued, so all right, you want to argue for those, fine. But when you look at the names of the players and Bradley Olynyk, the Road Onions guy, for James Harden and the way that Harden is playing, like he's a legitimate MVP candidate, like Maz, you said, like that's nothing.
So wait a minute, I thought you said that was the Oladipo package.
No. Now that Oladipo has gone,
because Oladipo is part of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't follow that. I'm such an idiot.
Yeah,
I didn't follow that. I'm such a moron.
Oladipo was like the separate spinoff.
Yeah, I got you.
Fine. There's been a lot of moving pieces here. But now, as of today, again, for James Harden, four first round picks, four pick swaps, Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, Dante Exum, and then the Road Onions guy. You could have gotten James Harden without having to move Tatum or Brown for, if you use this as the comp, Williams, Smart, four first rounders, and maybe Kemba and some other bench trash. You could have made this happen.
Yeah, I would have done that.
Yeah.
And you don't even like him.
No, I hate Harden. Right. I can't stand him. But look, when he wants to play and he wants to commit, I just don't know if you'd have gotten the same guy that Brooklyn got. You follow me? Because he has Kyrie and Durant.
Oh, yeah. So part of the engagement, I'm sure, has to do with the fact that he's playing with Durant and Kyrie.
But, Murray, if you tell me that he would have played the same way here, yes, I do that. Yeah, absolutely. No two ways about it.
And who's the Houston GM now?
Oh, I don't even know.
Fire that idiot.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Who is it?
I don't know. But I do want to get back to the Celtics and the moves they made today. And at the end of the day, they get Evan Fournier. And from Orlando, and a couple of big guys from the Bulls that I never heard of that I don't think are impact players per se. One is Mo Wagner, and the other is Luke Kornet.
Yep.
Who's a 7'2 guy who I'd never even heard of that apparently can shoot a little bit, but I don't know what the hell that means. I don't know how he's going to fit in or how it's going to work. The Fournier is really the big one. And out the door, Jeff Teague, Javonte Green, And who's the one I'm leaving out? Oh, Daniel Tice. Daniel Tice also at a door plus 2 second-round picks from the Celtics, which nobody cares about. So just quickly, give me your overall assessment of the Celtics day. Murray, you go first.
I like it ultimately because I wanted to see some changes. I just wanted something to happen, anything. So we got that something. I don't know if it's enough, but it'll hopefully, and I said this yesterday, so I want to be consistent. I think just a change to the mix can potentially change things enough that they can have a deeper playoff run. But are they a championship team? No.
I like the move. You know, the Fournier move. The Tice one I like less, and I do separate them out. Overall, I'd say, you know, the Fournier one's much more important. So
are they better or worse than they were yesterday?
They're better. They're definitely better.
I don't know if they're better defensively, though. I mean, Fournier's better in terms of, you know, you actually get some scoring off the bench, but what's he had defensively?
No, probably not much, but, you know, maybe you get more by playing Time Lord more over Tice, or I don't know. I overall, I like the moves. I think they're a net positive for the team. You didn't really give up much. Dipping under the luxury tax frustrates me a little bit. I've heard Witt come on with you guys a bunch and say, we'll spend. I think he adds the caveat to be a championship contender, so maybe there's the answer. They're not spending because they aren't a championship contender. I think it gives them a few more avenues in free agency with a full mid-level exception and other salary cap loopholes. But I like the Fournier move. They gave up nothing. It's just, it's odd timing. They've been in the playoffs. This will be their sixth year in a row if they make the playoffs. They've been in three Eastern Conference finals. You know, they had a team that desperately needed a trade 2 years ago when Kyrie was here. And Danny didn't do anything. He hasn't made a trade, an acquisition at the deadline in season since 2015. So I'm a little weirded out of the timing of it. Like, why is this team the one you're investing in? Maybe it's outside pressures. Maybe it's pressures upstairs from Wick. And I also just think it's a bad look when you're getting your third target, not throughout the entire NBA, your number three target on the Orlando Magic. Vucevic moved. You didn't get him. Gordon moved. You didn't get him. You got Fournier, who's a nice player, but I think they prioritized the other two guys more than him.
So I am interested by the timing of it. And again, look, the Fournier deal, when we initially heard it, they gave up nothing to get the guy. And look, you can even add in Teague after the fact and Javonte Green. I still think you gave up nothing.
Yeah, correct.
To get the guy. So I'm for the move. I hope Ainge gets asked, and he's on with Toucher and Rich tomorrow, I think, right, Jimmy? He's supposed to delay it.
9 a.m.
Okay, delayed it because of the deadline, so you can hear him here tomorrow morning. My guess is he's going to speak with the Celtics beat crew probably tonight via Zoom. And I hope someone does say to him, you know, what was the difference for you at this deadline versus other years? You haven't made a deadline deal in now 6 years. This is the first one in 6 years. And so what was, you know, what were some of the factors that contributed to it other than the market, right? Like the, you know, the prices on the market.
Yeah,
you should text that to Rich, certainly. He'll ask that for
you. So I'm sure Rich will. I mean, he's, you know, I honestly think he does a pretty good job with Andrew. They have him on.
I agree.
So I'm sure, you know, Rich is a Celtics fan, so he'll ask the question. Pete is in, and if he doesn't, someone else will. Pete's in Walton. Pete, what do you got?
Hey, Matt, how you doing? I called to talk about that spot shot, and I'll get to it real quick. But a couple of things first, because they came up while I was waiting. Olynyk really pisses me off because when they picked that stiff, they could have had Giannis. They packed on Giannis to pick him, so that's sickening.
Okay, forget about Olynyk, though. Get to smart shot. I'd rather hear about that.
They moved up for him.
Okay, what bothered me about that is the shooter knows better than anybody where his rebound is going. That ball rebounded 20 feet when it came off. I'm like, he's going to get that rebound, but he was falling out of bounds. What the hell was he doing? He should have had that rebound.
Okay, and you're talking about the three-pointer at the end of the game. He front-rimmed it. It did a kickback toward him. And so I didn't even notice that part of it. I mean, again, I wasn't as appalled by that shot as I was by the next one.
The layup.
When he went one on three.
No, the one that gets swatted away.
What are you doing?
No, I hated both.
If you have one on three, do the math. That means the other guys are four on two. Get rid of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing. So he went in there, what, just because he thought he might get a foul call? Is that it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he probably thought he could go in there and flop, I'm sure, is what he was ultimately thinking.
Oh, get rid of the ball, please. One on three. Our buddy Tommy's in Lynn. Tommy, what do you got, pal?
Tommy!
What's up, boys? Here we go. How come Tice was taking that three at the end of the game? And it should have been Tatum or Brown that should have took the three at the end of the game.
The Celtics are terrible.
Yeah, the Celtics are terrible. They're very inconsistent. This team's very inconsistent, boys. I don't know what's up with them.
Okay, so thanks to Tommy and Tommy's friend in the background.
Tommy's got a hype man now.
Yeah. Yeah, it. Tommy's handler.
Yeah. Yep.
But how'd you feel about Tyson's shot at the end of the game, Mark?
No, I didn't like it. And, you know, I just consider, you know, I want a shooter try to take that shot. I don't look at Tyson as that. I think he's inconsistent, as you know, in a position like that anyway. And I would like to have seen Peyton Pritchard, who had played 4 minutes last night. Why was he not on the floor for that last shot? And if not him, Jeff Teague, who, while I've been right to rag on for the most part in the time that he was here with the Celtics, has played pretty good for them the last couple of weeks. But now that's moot because he's gone anyway.
How about that? Tice takes a final shot at the buzzer, misses it, gets his ass traded the next day.
Murray, did you ask this, or was it Jay Stu who asked it earlier? Also, when he got in a little dust up with Marcus Smart. Like, are we brushing that aside too much?
Maybe because they dapped it up and it seemed like everything was okay. So I don't know. That's one I wasn't going to read too much into, because I just feel like there's constant issues going on with this
team. Tatum just walked away from the whole situation and up the tunnel.
Yeah,
Time you said that. What does that mean?
Maybe he's frustrated, or he just didn't want to deal with it.
He's frustrated with Tice specifically? What does
with
that mean?
With whoever, whatever's going on, he just decided to walk away rather than participate.
So that part of that trade today was him saying to Danny, get me a different German.
Yeah, Mo Wagner.
There's probably nothing there, but the optics of last night, where you have players on the bench who are frustrated, and one of your team leaders just gets up and walks away.
It's like
from the situation that doesn't concern anybody.
The guy who's actually killing the team gets to stay, Marcus Smart. The guy who last night misses a shot at the buzzer, which I didn't hate the shot. It was an open look. You know, I don't know why he was on the floor either. I'm with Jim on that. But I didn't hate the shot. There's 1 second left. You got to shoot that. The guy who misses the shot and gets in a dust-up with the guy who should go, he's the scapegoat. That's a little weird. I don't know if that's how it all played out, but that is how it looks. Like, oh, you missed a shot and you got in a fight with Marcus Smart. Bye-bye.
Just another day on the green good chip lollipop, mm-hmm. Jones. That's all that is over there. 617-779-0985. Back with your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go. Marcus Smart again. Inbounds to the corner. Tice for the game. No good. And the Celtics beaten at the buzzer. Daniel Tice got a clean look from the right corner and hit the back iron. The Celtics come from 25 down to give themselves a chance in their final at bat. Nobody ran to Tice. He ran all alone in the corner. But the three is no good off the back iron. And the Bucks again survive another huge Boston comeback. An agonizing year for the Celtics. And another gut punch tonight in Milwaukee. The final score, Milwaukee 121, Boston 119.
Daniel Tice's final act as a member of the Celtics. That shot last night.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Tyson's gone.
Oh, hey, Mo Wagner. Guten Tag.
one of three Celtics sent out the door today. Javonte Green, Jeff Teague, the others. Evan Fournier, and again, a couple of big guys. Mo Wagner from the Chicago Bulls. And what's his name again? Luke Kornet?
Oh, you know it.
Luke Kornet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, did they get stung by the Kornets?
Yeah, doesn't Gordon Hayward play for the Hornets?
Yeah, now he's a Celtic. We're going to call him the Green Hornet.
Yeah, who'd they get today? Well, they got Fournier, another German, and the B guy.
Yeah, they got a superhero. 617-779-0985. We'll get right back to your calls. I do want to. We touched on the Patriots earlier because Diana Rossini of ESPN said today that she has talked to officials in the league who believe the Patriots are still on Jimmy Garoppolo, that they haven't given up the fight yet on Jimmy G, for what that's worth. We also talked about a couple of other things. Murray compared the roster of the Patriots to the Buccaneers. Which team would you rather be? Quickly, Murray.
Oh, the Bucks. Yeah. It really starts and ends with the quarterback. Look, you know, the Patriots, that's not to discount some of the signings the Patriots have made. The two tight ends, I think, are studs, or at the very least, very, very good players, and they needed an upgrade there. But it starts and ends with the quarterback. So as long as you get Brady, like, I'm picking the Bucks.
And Jones asked a very pertinent question, too. He says, if you're the Patriots at this stage, you've sunk all this money into this team, why trade Stephon Gilmore away at all? Why not just keep him, bump his pay a little bit, keep him here, and go on the field with the best possible players, other than quarterback, of course. Am I accurately portraying that?
Yeah, Jones? Well, and furthermore, just like, it'd be a mixed message to the locker room, it'd be a mixed message to the fan base if Gilmore is still getting traded. And I think, I don't know, a month ago, a couple weeks ago, before free agency started, I think we were kind of all operating under the assumption that Gilmore would be gone. Right? I mean, he wasn't going to play. He's not going to play for $7 million.
Oh, no question.
I think we're all in agreement with that. Totally.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was. I still think that if they want him to play for them, they're going to have to give him a raise. But I don't disagree with the premise of keeping him now, paying him and keeping him, because you've obviously spent all this money already. Why not just spend a little more and keep Gilmore here too? And then let him go via free agency. If you want to keep him, you cross that one when you get there. I'll just add one other thing quickly, because now that, again, with social media now, you can find out everything about everything. That the Patriots West operation out there, Jared Stidham, Cam Newton now out there, along with Hunter Henry, Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne, those guys worked out again today. I think it's reached the point where there are like 60 people, you know, 60 to 100 people showing up to watch the workouts. Mm. They have a security detail out there, or a security guy, to watch the whole thing. And for what it's worth, Hunter Henry looked a little bit better today, from what I understand. Bourne is working a lot with Cam Newton, which doesn't surprise me, given what he said the other day.
Oh, nice.
And
he's good. Can't even get Stidham's name right. That shouldn't shock anybody.
Exactly. And Nelson Agholor apparently stuck around to work with Stidham at the end. Mm. So just little things to consider as we, you know, as we continue to move towards the NFL draft and potentially the next quarterback of the Patriots. Kevin's in Boston. Kevin, what do you got, pal?
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Here's your thoughts on having a number one defense versus elite quarterback. I mean, the defense is so stacked this year with Hightower back, with the D-line linebacker additions, developing Uche Duggar. I feel like it could be Brady Newton or even Dalton behind center. They're still going to give up less than 10 points a game. Curious your thoughts on that.
Less than 10 points a game? Yeah, don't hold your breath.
No way.
Well, okay, Niners did it, and then ultimately you got to rely on the quarterback at some point, and womp, the quarterback kind of sucked, and then they ended up losing that game after having a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Well, and Murray, let's not forget, too, that Tampa's personnel on defense largely did not change from 19 to 20. I mean, they added the kid in the draft at safety, but the Tampa personnel on D was the same as it was with Jameis Winston, as it was with Tom Brady.
Right. So if I have this correct, over the last few years, they went from 5-11 to 7-9 to 11-5 and winning the Super Bowl.
Well,
what was the one thing that really changed there?
Yeah, and the point being, the defense wasn't as good when the quarterback was turning over the football.
Yeah.
So you know, they all go hand in hand, and Belichick loves to say it's a team game. And Patriots fans love to lap that up.
Yeah, so yep. When you're Winston throwing 30 interceptions in a season, of course you're going to get hands on the hips and, you know, just guys acting disgruntled and saying, yeah, oh, the hell with this.
Or short,
half-ass it.
Short fields, yeah, and pick sixes and stuff that counted against their scoring anyway. I don't know if it counted against the defense, but yeah, right. Yeah, that's a huge difference.
How do you feel about the defense overall, Murray? So far with what they've got, and let's assume for the moment that Gilmore stays.
Oh, I mean, it's certainly improved in certain areas. Like, they needed help at linebacker. You're getting Dante Hightower back. Van Noy being back is a good thing for them. You seemingly have a legitimate pass rusher in Matthew Judon. So that signing was one of the better ones. So the defense will be good.
I'm still not convinced on Hightower.
I'll tell you what. Oh, that he's back?
Oh.
Yep. Still not convinced.
That wrist of yours was buzzing?
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you again. I'll believe it when I see it. So we were told Cannon's coming back. You know, everybody's...
Oh, all these opt-outs, yeah. Yep.
Cannon's gone.
Yeah.
They traded him. Chung retired.
Yeah. Well, Cannon, Chung, and Hightower opting out last year is what killed the Patriots. So that's all those opt-outs were such a massive problem. Now one-third of them is back, and maybe not even that one, you're saying.
So I don't know. And you'd say, well, why have we heard about the other two and not Hightower yet? I don't know. Maybe Hightower relates to the draft. Maybe they take a linebacker in the first round, and then Hightower retires.
Oh, that would... If they end up taking Micah Parsons, or, you know, a linebacker at 15. Oh, that wouldn't shock me at all that he says, you know what, I'm out too.
Okay, so I just wonder. That's,
yeah,
all.
Or they take him and then they try to break his balls and ask him to take a haircut or something like that. Yeah. And then, yeah.
So I will believe it when he shows up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's all I'm telling you. I'll believe it when he shows up. Guy his age opts out, comes back. They're just going to pay him what they were going to pay him the year before. I don't know. It doesn't sound like the Patriots. Mitch is in a car. Mitch, what do you got?
Hey, so basically I just want to talk about Danny Ainge of the Celtics today. I'm extremely frustrated. Basically all these big names and big possible deals that were being rumored around the Celtics, and the biggest guy that we got is Fournier. Are you kidding me? And we had to use $17 million of our exception to get him. Absolutely ridiculous. On top of that, our big guy, big white German guy, Theis, got traded for another big white German guy, just a little bit younger than him.
Yes.
And the only reason why any sort of green teamer should be smiling is that Danny Ainge picked up his phone and did his job, and the fact that the biggest foul liability, our biggest penalty liability in the NBA is now off our team. It's just astonishing that anyone could be happy after today.
Jones?
Yeah, I don't want to be like some Danny Ainge defender here, but I think they got better today. You know, how much we can debate. And if you really thought they were going to get more with the trade exception, then I understand your frustration level there. But there was a good chance they were going to get nothing for that trade exception, which I know you guys tried to hammer home to listeners when it went down. We tried to do the same thing at night. Like, a lot of times these don't get used. So if you thought they were getting Bradley Beal or somebody like that with the trade exception, that was never going to happen. So I think Danny Ainge did well by using the trade exception today, not waiting until the offseason. I think you lose leverage and maybe never end up getting to use it if you don't use it today, the closer and closer you get to the expiration of it. Fournier is a good player, and this team right now, they need good players. I know that's overly simplistic, but they need more good players in their rotation. He's that. So they got better. How much better, we can debate, but they got better.
And if you were expecting a splash, I can understand why you're disappointed. But I do think if you do feel that way, you're going to feel better because they are going to be a player in the buyout market, or they're going to try to be. And if one of these guys that has been bought out or will be bought out ends up choosing you over Philly, Brooklyn, Miami, then you feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, and I also want to see what happens with Fournier in the long term. I mean, he's a free agent at the end of the year. One of the only real thing that surprises me about the acquisition with him is that he's up at the end of the year. And it's not typically the kind of player that they would spend anything for, you know, in terms of assets to go get at the deadline. But when you look at it, you say they didn't give up much for him.
Right.
They make the team better in the short term. Maybe they just let him walk. Or maybe they have designs on re-signing him and making him part of the mix. I mean, that wouldn't be, you know, you end up keeping a guy like that and you get him for nothing. Then that's not a bad outcome.
That's kind of what Miami's looking at with Oladipo, right? He's a free agent at the end of the year. They gave up Olynyk and Bradley. Like, they didn't give up much. So if he walks, he walks. And if not, you're keeping a pretty good player. I mean, I think it's probably similar logic there.
Absolutely. So here's what we're going to do. Jones will get you caught up on headlines here. And then when we come back, we will tell you why. It is a very big night in Boston sports. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Belger Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Up ahead now to Patrice Bergeron. Over the blue line to the right circle. Bergeron driving wide. Takes it in behind the net. Out of the left wing circle. Drops it off. For Sagan to the bottom of the circle. Spins and puts it on net. A stick save Reimer. Boychuk right side. A wrist shot blocked.
Reuniting Sagan with this line here.
And Bergeron a one-timer. Save Reimer. Rebound loose at the top of the crease. Rips on score! Bergeron! And game seven! And the Bruins win the series!
Yeah! Woo! There it is. Holy, oh, I want to swear so bad. Yeah, James Reimer. Ah, take that, Reimer, you bum. Wow, what an epic collapse. What an absolute collapse by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Suck it. Wow, holy. Oh, I want to. Ah, holy. Wow, huh?
So why would we play that? Why would we play that? Murray, why would we play that?
Pandering for cheap laughs?
Well, there's always that. Yeah. There's always that. That is the, by the way, that's the little clip from Atlanta Talk Radio that got Jim Murray the job on the Felger and Mast Show.
Certainly helps. I don't know, 8 years ago, seven, yep. whatever the hell it is.
So look, yeah. it was a very sort of contrived way to get to this point. Tonight, for the first time in over a year, fans back at the TD Garden. Wow. Fans back in the seats at the Garden tonight. And it's not a full house, obviously. What is it, 12%, Jimmy, right?
Yeah. 12%.
12% capacity. 12% of capacity allowed in the building.
Like 2,500 or whatever, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. The Bruins will play the Islanders. I heard Chris Wagner talking about this a little bit today.
Wagner.
Wagner, yes, on Zolak and Bertrand. And said, you know, every little bit helps to have fans in the building. And I noticed this. I don't know if you noticed this, Murray. Do you remember when the Celtics played New Orleans down there? It was a Sunday game, I think. Zion Williamson had the big second half. Yeah. The Celtics had a big lead and blew it, right? That game?
Yeah.
Entertaining game. There were fans in the stands that day in New Orleans.
Yeah, and that was like their second day. My buddy was down there. He went to the game against Phoenix like two nights before.
And I noticed them.
Yeah, same here.
I noticed them. You know, there have been so many games where they're pumping in crowd noise and I'm not telling you I don't like that. I'm just telling you, you know, it's artificial. But when I heard real fans reacting to the game, even a number at 25%, and tonight, again, will be half that in the TD Garden. The Bruins are playing the Islanders. Is that game 7 or 7:30?
7.
7 o'clock. So I just think it's nice to have people back in the building again.
Oh, I think you notice it watching any of these tournament games, too. Like, it makes a difference. It's got that real feel again with just a smattering of fans there.
I heard Van Noy say to Beadle and Zoe yesterday, because Miami was one of the teams that had fans. I heard Van Noy say that opponents were coming up to them as Dolphins players and saying, yeah, it's kind of nice to play down here, not just because it's Miami, but
it feels real.
Yeah, exactly. We're not playing in some empty bowl. So, yeah, I mean, I whether you're home or away, I imagine players want that. They want some kind of buzz and energy and juice in the building.
Don't you want it as a fan, too?
Oh, totally.
If you're there, you're mean, or on TV?
No, I'll tell you both, too, but particularly in the building. Particularly that. When you go, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's the whole point. And look, I love the competition. I'm not telling you I don't love the competition. I do. And it's been enough for me to watch on TV as long as the games are played with something close to real effort, and for the most part, they have been. You know, I'll take the product, no question. But the fans do make a difference.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have some people back on the road after these games, too, to call the night show. That'd be good.
Particularly the drunk ones, Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Call Arcan tonight, would you?
Particularly the drunk ones. But I do think that fans are a big part of the experience, and they're a big part of the game. They're a big part of home court advantage in the NBA and in the NFL. Maybe not so much so in baseball and hockey. Clearly, I think the home crowd can hurt a hockey team in the postseason. But fans in the building tonight at the Garden.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting to watch.
I think any of this, whether it's the Bruins, the Celtics, Red Sox, they're all hot tickets, too. Either you can't find them, or if you can on the secondary market, they're like crazy expensive.
Oh, absolutely. I think people are itching to go.
Totally.
And I know I am. I want to get back in there. And I told you this, Jones. You have a 3-year-old, right? A 3-year-old son?
Yeah, almost 3, yeah.
Okay, so you'll get there soon enough. Mine are 16 and almost 14, two boys, and my 14-year-old's a hockey junkie. And as soon as he heard the announcement that they were opening up the building again, they're going to let fans in, even for limited tickets, he said, can we get tickets for my birthday? I want to go. So right away, I said to him, absolutely, I'll try. I can't guarantee it. I'll try. But I want to be back in the building. I want to, you know, to me, anything that...
I think Maz wants tickets. Maz gets tickets.
Okay, so look, I can call in a few favors. We'll figure it out. But the other thing is, I you know, to me, it's also, aside from the sports part of it, it's a small but significant step that indicates we're getting closer. We're getting a little bit closer back to normal. And so I know there are going to be restrictions in terms of spacing, and people are going to have to wear masks and all of that. But you know what? Just get me in the building again. It's a start. Mm-hmm. It's a start, and I think it's great. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to you know, again, watching the game, hearing actual Bruins fans react to what's going on the ice instead of something that's just being pumped in and that is artificial. You know, it helps with the viewing experience just to have the noise there. But the real noise is different.
It's just different. Yeah, and not to mention, too, how much that can help those businesses and bars and restaurants in that area, too. I don't even know what exists after, you know, what is everything that's happened over the last year and what still is open. But
The ones that remain could certainly use the business.
Yeah, I've never been happier to pay $12 for a beer.
Never been happier. Jumbo size meatball.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have two Bud Lights and a Bud Heavy. My buddy's not here, but here's his ID. They're all for me. Dakota's in Braintree. Go ahead, Dakota. What do you got?
Hey, before I get to the trade, Peyton Pritchett, 14-6 when he gets 20 minutes or more for the Celtics.
Oh, would you shut up with that? I hate that stat. You keep giving me that stat. I hate that stat.
Tell me about him at the Y, though.
Yeah. All right, listen, let's go to this trade, okay? We all have our eyes, and we say that the players on the court are the problem. We all start there, that the team has player problems?
Yes.
Okay, and guess what? Nothing was really done. Evan Fournier was brought in, and that team doesn't get you back to the Eastern Conference Final, which is the benchmark, because that's where they've usually been. So if it's not the players didn't get traded, so that means Danny must think that the players on the team are fine. Well, he didn't fire the coach, so that means it's not the coach's fault, because if it was, then Danny would have fired him. So guess what? This all leads up to Danny. And if Danny's still here because he kept the players and didn't fire the coach, then Wick has to be responsible. And if this team doesn't get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, then Wick has to look at not the players, not Brad Stevens, but Danny Ainge, because he made the ultimate decision not to do anything to get them back to the ECF or fire Brad Stevens. Wick is now responsible. He's on the clock.
Okay, so look, the ownership is always part of it, Dakota.
Yeah. I don't know if he's on the clock, but yeah.
Yeah, ownership's always part of it. And if you're asking me, at the end of the day, the GMs in that league are huge. It's all about the roster building. I mean, if you ask me, why are the Celtics in the predicament they're in, I'll tell you Danny Ainge.
But I do agree with him that, and I'm not saying he needs to start firing people, Wick, but everybody there at least had been, maybe prior to the last month or so, really comfortable. And maybe today was Wick saying, Danny, we're not sitting out the trade deadline for the sixth straight year. So do something.
You get pushed into it a bit.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. I think that's the one criticism I would have outside of dipping below the luxury tax today, which is a little annoying from ownership. That would be my one criticism for ownership. Could you nudge Danny into not sitting on his hands and knees? Like, I thought he was the guy who'd make, you know, five trades in a month like he did when he was spinning the dial after the Rondo deal, however many years ago that was now. And now he's the guy who doesn't make any trades in season. Like, get back to making some moves and trying something.
Yeah, and
that's your job.
I think there was a PR element to today for the Celtics. A PR element. I also think there was an element of telling Tatum and Brown, we are going to try to add pieces around you. Okay, it's not always going to be a superstar, but we are going to get better players for you guys, because you got to keep those guys happy. We all can see how the league works now. When star players get disenchanted, they want out. So you got to keep them happy. Scott's in Holbrook. Go ahead, Scott. Scott, are you there? Okay, no Scott, so we'll get rid of him. We'll go to Sean and Quincy. Sean, what do you got? Sean, are you there? No, Sean, he dropped as well.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, well, you know what? Both of you guys can go to hell. Now, you sit there and I punch you up, and then you don't say anything. You hung up, so now you're gone. That's just the way it works.
Not only are you gone, you can go to hell.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the resentful side of me coming out, Jones. I just, you know, get a little agitated. But with regard to the Bruins fans in the building tonight, something I do think, too, I'm glad it's Bruins fans and not Celtics fans that are in there first.
See, I wish it was Celtics fans.
I don't.
They could boo the crap out of
right.
this team.
Okay, so, but you know what? Bruins fans are the most loyal in town. They really are.
Yeah, that's probably true.
They really are. And you know what? They generally, and they express their feelings. They're the most vocal. They're the most loyal. They're the most passionate. And so, you know what? If someone gets to go back first, it should be the Bruins fan. I do. I believe that. And I think it's a significant step. So, you know, you hear that crowd cheering in the background after a big win, or when something goes wrong, Jones, you hear them bitching about what's going on with the team. Mm-hmm. And Celtics fans have gotten frustrated this year, and rightfully so. So I hear you on that one. But I just think having fans back in the building, period, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Good thing for everybody. Even if you suck this year like the Celtics do, it's a good thing. Final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
It's a pretty busy day out there.
Oh, yeah, very. A lot of activity here.
Yeah, especially, and I haven't done headlines on a deadline deal maybe ever. Like, this was a
giant pain in the ass, ain't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's got a blow for you guys.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Head spinning. I'm sweating. Like, it's a whole thing. But Danny Ainge surprisingly did something. I didn't think he'd do something. Most of you probably didn't think he'd do something. So not only did he trade for Evan Fournier, he also said Alvitasane to Daniel Tice, and he said Guten Tag to one of Daniel Tice's fellow countrymen. The Celtics have another deal in place. Mo Wagner for Daniel Tice?
That's according to Casey Johnson out of Chicago, saying they were close to a deal. Obviously, that's coming over at 3 o'clock, so maybe that deal got completed. But I'm reading from Casey Johnson's Twitter account. The Bulls are in talks to trade Mo Wagner to the Celtics for Daniel Tice. Per sources, working it to deadline, not official yet. And then Brian Robb just tweeted 14 seconds ago, Celtics trading Tice to Bulls for Mo Wagner will take them back under the luxury tax threshold. Will also land them a draft asset, whatever that means. But, you know, you'll have to tell me about...
I think it's Wagner.
Yeah,
Wagner.
Mo Wagner. You'll have to tell me about Wagner, who's German for German, right?
Yes.
Isn't Tice also German?
I mean, Tice definitely is. Wagner's got to be, right?
Okay, so is that a nothing
born
deal or what? What is this?
It's to play Time Lord more, I think.
Adrian Wojnarowski has confirmed the deal with Chicago that the Celtics have sent Daniel Tice for, what's his name again, Wagner?
Mo Wagner.
Mo Wagner. Who's a 6'10", 6'11", center, big body guy, Wagner.
Yeah, we Germans aren't all smiles and sunshine.
Yeah, Murray, how come it's not pronounced, why are they calling it Wagner when it's a W?
Ooh, the Germans. Ooh, the Germans. It's a Simpsons reference that no one got.
Yeah,
maybe Jimmy did in the back.
If I got one of those paint spray guns, do I have to call it a Wagner spray gun now? Or is it a Wagner? Because I prefer Wagner.
By the way, I was reading up a little bit more about the murder Cornet.
Good.
So Luke Cornet.
Yes, this Luke Cornet. So last year, before the shutdown, he was out 6 to 8 weeks with a foot and an ankle injury. 7'2" with foot and ankle injuries. That's a nice kid.
Yeah, sounds pretty standard. To
sounds
me.
Like Dino Raja.
Like
Hall of Famer Dino.
It's like trading for a point guard with knee issues. But who would do something like that?
Yeah, 7'2" guy who can shoot threes.
I said the fans are allowed back in the building, right?
Yeah,
fans
correct.
Are allowed. So the next time the Celtics are home, get there early. You want to get there early. You don't know what's going on with COVID protocols anyway. Get there early, and you are going to want to watch the pregame one-on-one battles between Taco Fall and the murder Cornet. It is going to be a couple of 7-foot stiffs, you know, fighting to the death out there one-on-one, going through their paces before the game. Like, that's going to be a good watch. So get out there, get there early, get in your seats, you know, grab whatever you can. And make sure you watch those two go toe-to-toe. That'll be good.
Yeah, Wagner gets out there. He'll be the point guard, 6'11". Looking up at those two, the little squirt.
I appreciate the fact that TV has murder Hornet footage now.
Okay. Nice. Oh, yeah, look at those things.
I wonder if they paid for that. What, about $40,000?
Yeah, the murder Hornet.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.